And then they go over to Esterville, have supper with their friends over there. I'm glad to have friends. And we have to meet them. I think those are the ones we have to meet too. Man. And then Jerry ends up, you know, dying on Thursday. And this coming Thursday is the funeral. And, I'm sure Elmer's heard, well done, good and faithful servant. As we heard from the first song this morning. If you're new to Harbor of Joy, special welcome to you today. Glad that you are here. And just wanted to let you know that from 4 to 6 this Wednesday is visitation. And Thursday at 10 o'clock is when we'll have the funeral service. We'll be here. What was it, 10:30? Well, they haven't come early. At 10:30, I stand corrected, thank you. 10:30 is the funeral service here at Harbor of Joy, and then there will be a catered lunch that will be served following. But you're more than welcome to come and be a part of that as well. You know, one of the things I remember from, I'll hear from Norma, but I'm sure Ellen would probably agree with Norma. But you know, when they listen on Zoom, they go like, Pastor, you always speak softer when you come to that point you want to make. And we can't hear it. So I'll try to remember to be a little bit more forceful when I get to that part of the message. Today's going to be a little different kind of a service. As you will find out, I don't have everything that is in the order of service, but I will let you know when the things are going to take place and who's going to be involved along the way here today. But we come to worship the Lord and uphold Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior today. And we're glad that you can be a part of this Sunday because it's going to be a unique Sunday, but one that hopefully it's our prayer that it's also a meaningful Sunday. Each and every one of you are going to say, well, I was really glad that I came today. I don't know why, but I woke up today, I didn't want to go to church. Now I know why. The devil is just working overtime to make you not think you should go to church. And but you'll be glad that you're here today. So just some of the announcements I just want to pass on to you here is that tonight we're having our first hymn sing. There's a potluck because, you know, good Lutherans like to eat. And 5 o'clock, Dean Ramsey is taking care of the potluck. I'll take care of the hymn sing at 6 o'clock. Lynn Kelly will be playing tonight. This has nothing against Bob Floss. You know, I've talked to Bob that he could play if he'd like, but I know Sunday evenings is usually his time with his friends. And I don't want to take that away from him. And so
I only have 10 friends, but
that's so. So it's not that he doesn't want to play, not that he doesn't want to be here type of thing, that's just kind of something that's going on in his life, and I just want to give him the room to do what he's used to. And as you can see in the bulletin, I mean, they're the very first one of the prayer request, this was run off on Thursday morning, and so it still has it here. Elmer, you know, to pray for Elmer and Norma Lubinus, as Elmer is in hospice care at the Spirit Lake Hospital. So that's why that's still in just to let you know that. And you see all the other ones that are listed there. Good to have Alan Holman here with us. Where are you, Al? There you are. We missed him the last couple of weeks, but we're glad that you're back with us. And I'm glad you brought Sharon with you today. And so there are others that you find in the bulletin to be mindful of prayers for. As well as on the back side, there are things that are coming up in the next couple of months ahead type of thing that give you a heads up on what's taking place there too. But let's just begin with a word of prayer this morning, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for each and every person that is here this morning. Those that have come a long ways, those that have come little ways, and those that have been here regularly, those that are here for the first time, those that have been here maybe not regularly and not for the first time, but they've been here on and off throughout the past year. We're grateful for everyone that is here today, especially those two that are joining us by Zoom. if that is a possible hookup or connection that could be made here as well. And so, Lord, our hearts go out to Norma and Larry and Tim and the passing of Elmer. And Lord, we know that it won't be the same around here in a lot of different, in a lot of ways. And I think especially of the men's breakfast. You know, Elmer was always at the men's breakfast at Perkins, the first Saturday morning of the month. And just his presence here, too, just a man that would easily, you could easily talk to about the things of the Lord, and a guy whose heart was there to do what he could for the kingdom of heaven. And so we thank you for the ministry that he was a part of, and we pray that those ministries will continue on, even though he's not here with us. And Lord, may you comfort Norma in a special way where she knows that, you know, life is going to be very different for her, and there's a lot of things that, you know, she'll have to go through all the firsts without Elmer in her life. But thank you for Larry and Tim to be able to spend time with their mom during this time, and I know that they will probably be calling her maybe a little bit more often than they did before. You know, I don't know how often they did call, but it's just a change of life that takes place. And when we get married and we say those vows, Lord, before you, that says, "No, till death do us part." And time when we take those vows, we don't really understand what they all mean, but we know that as the years go by, the day comes that we do let go and put the person whom we've had so many memories with and who we committed our lives to, that we come to a day when we say, "Thanks for the memories, Lord." It's not the end, though. There's more to come. Better days to come as well, as we have that relationship with Jesus Christ to look forward to be with him forever, as well as those that have gone on before us. And so we just pray for the service today, Lord, that you would use all that is said and done. Had a good start here this morning, that you would continue to use it in our hearts and our lives today as well. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Your arms.
You still play after the responsive reading today. I'm going to read some scripture. I will be the leader. You be the ones who just unite your voices together as we do the responsive reading this morning. For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from the fathers, not with perishable things. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.
The message of the cross is foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is God's power.
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the understanding of the experts.
As for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world.
Hallelujah. What a Savior.
Hallelujah. What a Savior.
Of our sins that will send us to hell. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him, referring to Jesus Christ, will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't ever be ashamed to share your testimony with someone. If I remember right, before I was your pastor, I heard that many of you kind of shared your testimony on Sundays.
Somebody sitting here.
And how you came to know the Lord by faith. And you did that as, you know, Harbor of Joy kind of began back in 2010. Recently, we've been going through the book of Acts, looking at some of the texts and the messages that have come from this wonderful book, the New Testament. And we've heard about a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who hated Christians. And he was knocked off his horse as he went to Damascus, going to find Christians and put them in jail. And he was blind by a bright light, and he heard his name, Saul. Saul, why do you persecute me? And he knew it was the voice of Jesus. He was led by hand to Damascus, where a man by the name of Ananias, who the Lord had spoken to previously, of saying, hey, this Paul got, the Saul guy is going to come, and you need to lay your hands on him, pray for him that he would receive his sight. And he was very reluctant. He goes, I've heard about this guy. I really don't know if I want to do this. But he did. And Saul received his sight. And he had a lot of thinking going on in the process. But the very one that he was out persecuting, now he's going to become one of his greatest disciples. An apostle as well. And so we hear a little bit about how he came to know the Lord. And this is pretty dramatic. Some of you that are here today would say, well, mine isn't quite as dramatic as Saul of Tarsus. And that's fine. It doesn't have to be. But we're going to hear from someone here in just a minute, because we also heard in the book of Acts where Pentecost, you know, Jesus mentioned that Jesus ascended into heaven, and he said, just wait, do not leave, you're going to be my witnesses until something's going to happen, but you just wait until that happens, you'll know when it does. And it was the Holy Spirit who came and indwelt every believer in Jesus Christ at that time. We call it the beginning of the Christian church, Pentecost. And it's continued on from that day to this day, and it continues on into the future. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, I hope that you listen to Karen talk. She's going to come and share her testimony this morning. And then I'll give a few comments when she's done. Karen? Sorry it's taken so long. You asked to do this last year. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then I said, hey, Karen, I think it's time for you to do your testimony. And you're like, I've been ready for a year. So come and share with us. You've had a lot of time to think about what you didn't say. Are we on here? So I make sure we're on.
First of all, thank you, Sharon. She's been so patient with me, trying to get me organized and get me on. And technology is not my thing, and she's been very helpful in getting things organized and for a few pictures that you can see.
Who is that?
My life began on a chilly October morning in Havre, Montana. My mother had been staying with some friends for 2 weeks, prior to my delivery because we lived 90 miles away and we didn't have a hospital in Malta, so I was in Haver, or she was in Haver when I was born. My parents were in their mid-30s when I was born, which in itself was unusual in the 1940s. They had a late start, and possibly that was the reason I was an only child, or maybe after me. Another challenge like that was way too much to bear. The Lord blessed me with godly parents and didn't leave it up to the church, Sunday school teachers, Bible school teachers, or pastors to learn the way of the Lord. They were explicitly taught me about Jesus, about the Bible, what it meant to be God, to be a believer and to believe in God. They taught me to pray, but the only prayer that I was allowed to say that was written was the Lord's Prayer. The other prayers I was not allowed to say. I didn't say the meal prayer or the evening prayer because I was to pray out of my heart. And that's, my dad reminded me when I prayed that I was simply talking with God and it was just a conversation. I hated being an only child. Out on the ranch was nobody to play with. My father decided he needed some help on the ranch, so he hired a fellow with four children, and I was thrilled to death. The oldest was about my age, and his name was Jerry. The cats, dogs, chickens, pigs, calves, and even nests of baby mice found in the haystacks were our friends. And when one of them died, we had a funeral. It was usually on the roof of the hog house, which we could reach by swinging on a big cottonwood tree, and it would swing up on the hog house. Jerry preached, and I was in charge of the music and the scripture, and we could be heard for miles. I think because Jerry and his family went to the Pentecostal church, he was much louder than I was.
Leave it on the monitor.
We went to a very conservative, interdenominational church that was pretty much our life. We were there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for prayer meeting, Friday night for more fellowship. We would often have speakers and missionaries who would show slides and tell their very amazing stories. When I was five, after one of these special services, I told my father, after we got home, that I wanted to give my life to the Lord. He and my mother prayed with me, and I remember the moment just like it was yesterday. I was baptized at age 16 in an irrigation canal. I was immersed in an irrigation canal that ran in the back of my ranch, my father's ranch, where the cattle drank and bathed, but I was baptized upstream. Thank you. I attended grade school in Malta, about 8 miles away. We had no bus out in my direction, so my father and mother had to take me to school and come and get me. And I remember in Montana when a blizzard, we didn't cancel school. We just, if you came to school, you came to school, and if you didn't, you didn't. Nobody got too nervous about it. But I remember in fourth grade, it was blizzarding terrible. I couldn't see the street when I went out of school, and my father wasn't there. My Uncle Roy was there, and he came to pick me up. And I was thrilled to death I got to stay in town for a few days and eat store-bought cookies and chicken noodle soup out of a can. I asked my parents later when I got to thinking about it, how did you know that Roy and Berta were picking me up that day? My dad said I didn't know. They didn't have any phones. They didn't know where I was. But we said we just trusted the Lord that somebody was there to get you. I hated December when I was a child because all of my friends brought their teachers lotion and perfume and candy. I brought a homegrown, cleaned, frozen chicken. I was so embarrassed that I had to bring a chicken, and my mother tried to convince me that these ladies in town would enjoy a homegrown chicken to put in their freezer. We had a large group of kids when I was in high school, about 40 in our church, and we commiserated with the kids from the Pentecostal church and the kids from the Lutheran Brethren church. So we had quite a group. We did many activities together, Bible studies. We all were in the same Sunday school,
sang in the choir after church, and we, every Sunday night after church, we had fellowship, singing lunch, and we were our own support group. We were known in the Malta High School as the straight-laced kids. That title really didn't upset any of us because we were a quite closely knit group and tried to lead exemplary lives. Other than my parents and my church family, the one person in my life that was my go-to was my Grandma Erickson. She lived on the same ranch in another house across the property. She was a devout Christian lady, and I would love to go spend the night with her anytime I could, and we would share lots of love. And she called me, she was very Swedish, she called me Cochran. After graduating from high school, I was bound for the big city of Minneapolis to be a student nurse at the Swedish hospital. This was after a little drama in our house when I told my parents when I was a junior in high school that I was going to go into medicine. It was expected that I was going to go into music, as I had several aunts, uncles, cousins that were music majors, and my mother was quite an accomplished musician. It was a bit quiet in our home after a few days, but I determined I was not going to let my mother dominate me, and I knew I wanted to be in medicine since I was very young. She was quite outspoken and opinionated. Can you imagine that? When she ascertained that I was not going to change my mind, she said, well, you are just not going to go to any universities in Montana because the girls in Montana have trouble passing their state boards. How she knew this, or even if it was a fact, I do not know. When I applied at Swedish, they wouldn't take me because I was too young. In Montana, you could send your kids to school anytime you wanted to, so I was in first grade when I was 5. So I graduated from high school when I was 16. My mother attended the St. Paul Bible College in Minneapolis, which is now Crown College, where she graduated with a degree in music, and she thought that I would be a good place for me for a year. I always did what my mother told me to do. I did attend there for 1 year, enjoyed my general courses along with courses such as the prison epistles, the Old and New Testament history, even tried Greek, that didn't last too long, and did some piano and voice lessons and tried to play the marimba. I was able to travel with the St. Paul Choral Club with about 50 voices for 3 weeks in the spring, where we sang every night in a different church and 3 times on Sunday. One particular evening, we were scheduled to sing in a huge church in Chicago. We always wanted to arrive 5 or 6 hours early because we had to set up the risers and get the instruments all taken care of and tuned, the robes, all of that paraphernalia. But we had bus trouble. We didn't get there till just an hour before we were supposed to have our concert, so we didn't have time to scout out the church. I was an alto in the end of the second row, and after each section, I was to lead the choir off. Got to the end of the first session, and Dr. Hall gave me the nod, and I started off and led the whole choir into a closet. He never let me forget it. After graduating from Swedish and passing my state boards, I began a career in Minneapolis. During those first years as a working adult out in the world, I did not live the life that I promised God I would, and strayed away. But God had a plan, and I stayed out of really bad trouble, but because of a dear friend, I saw my faults and sinfulness and rededicated my life to the Lord. I met and fell in love with my husband, and we married in 1967. He grew up going to a church every Sunday, sitting in the same pew with his 9 brothers and sisters, was baptized, confirmed, and did his duty as an acolyte and usher. After we were married, we were in church as a family, and he never complained. And it was well into our marriage that I realized that he thought he was a good, honest guy. He sat in church on Sunday, gave a little money in the offering plate, and did some ushering, and thought that this was good enough. Long story short, it wasn't until 3 years before he died that I led him to the Lord, and he realized that all of his good works were not getting him into heaven. We have 3 biological children, and two that God just sent our way, and that's another story. I have 5 wonderful in-laws and 13 fabulous grandchildren. Just ask me, I'll tell you. Life wasn't always easy. We lived on a farm that I hated, and it was a real struggle. I was always doomed for city life. I left my husband, and we were separated for a year when all the kids were gone. This was a revelation for both of us. The kids were terribly embarrassed, and were all struggling and very unhappy. That was reconciled, and life got easier. The time I really learned to depend on the Lord was the year 1990 and 1991, when I was working as an industrial nurse in a large meat packing industry in Albert Lea. Wilfred was working in the same plant. We were shocked to learn that in 2 weeks, the plant was closing and both he and I would no longer have a job. He had worked there 29 years in that plant, and we did not have any money coming in, no medical insurance, and 3 kids in college and 2 at home. I remember pleading with the Lord as to how to handle this situation. He answered my prayer once again. I went back to school, got my degree, my schooling being paid for because I was a dislocated worker, and traveled to and from Minneapolis for 18 months. I graduated with my BSN at age 49, and he provided me a job that I always said I would never do, working in a nursing home. I loved that job. Although I had worked in every area in the hospital, the emergency room being my favorite, that job in the long-term healthcare facility was just what I needed to once again be grounded and learn to love those people. Wilfred would not work again as he had several back surgeries and was unemployable. He did some farming and kept the home fires burning. My children and I are a very ecumenical family. One family is ELCA, one family is NALC, which is our sister synod, one family is non-denominational, one evangelical free, and one Catholic. Praise God, they all love the Lord and are active in their respective congregations. One of my favorite, that last picture that you just saw was the last picture that Wilfred and took when he was well enough to take pictures. It was on Jaden's confirmation, and this was in June. He was diagnosed with cancer in April, and he died in August, 6 years now, this coming August, but that was our last family picture that he was able to be in, that he looked good. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I have to acknowledge that that is a proverb, not a promise, but I try really hard to be an example of Jesus to my family. That's a picture of me and my grandchildren with a couple extra boyfriends tossed in there. another wonderful verse is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. But the verse that really has sustained me in all these years is Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Our women's Bible study on anxiety was a real blessing to me, and I'm trying so hard with the help of our Savior not to worry or be anxious. The church and you sitting out there in those pews has been my rock and my fortress these last almost 12 years. And this church means more to me than you will ever know. We are all sinners. We all have faults. We do not agree on how things should be done. But praise God, he has made us free and forgiven. I love God. I love all of you. And I love this body of Christ.
Thank you, Karen. You don't look like you're over 29.
No.
But
yeah, you're right.
Thanks for not being ashamed to come up and to share what God has done in your life. It's just it's amazing. I have go back to Pentecost. You know, the disciples before Pentecost were pretty scared and afraid because they locked themselves in the room after Jesus rose again from the dead. And Jesus had to come into the room even though the door was locked. But it was when Pentecost came, there was a real change that happened among the disciples. And it was Peter who stood up and for the first time talked about his Lord and Savior. And it said that after that talk, there was like 3,000 people who came to know Jesus as their personal Savior. That's in Jerusalem. When God does something, he does something pretty big. But even when one comes to know Jesus today, it still is a big deal. It still is wonderful. So one of the things I wanted to do in light of what's going on here today is we had some new members. You know, we don't have 3,000 of them. But we do have at least 8 names, and I just want you to come on up front. It's not to embarrass you, but I just want you to come up here so that the people here can see who the new members of Harbor of Joy are. And then I'm going to ask you a few questions when you're up there too. But you know, you can have your wife answer for you if you want. But at the first, I'm going to invite up Ken and Cheryl Hesinius, would be Dwayne and Vicki Anderson. I don't know if Vicki's here today. We have John and Jackie Arthur. And Dave and Sarah Reef. Now, Dave said that they got a phone call from their daughter who lives in Brookings that has to move to Vermilion, South Dakota. And that's where they are today. Oh, they're here. Oh, you're here. Well, come on. Okay, I'm sorry. Take that back. I'm so glad you came. Vicki is here, too. Okay. Now, Vicki's husband, Dwayne, is at home. He's got ALS. He's in hospice. He cannot be here today. Some of you have probably met him early on, probably over a year and a half ago. It's probably the last time Dwayne was here as well. But it's not been an easy thing for her either. So here's the big questions here. The burning questions. This is an interesting class because all of these are basically transfer memberships from different places. In Iowa and South Dakota, I think that's it. Iowa and South Dakota. Oh, Minnesota. So what I want you to do is just say who you are and why do you like coming to Harbor of Joy? How long have you been coming? That's the other thing. How long have you been coming? And what is it about Harbor of Joy that you want to be members?
Okay, my name is...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was turned on. Sorry.
Good morning. My name is Cheryl Hesinius, and Ken and I actually attended Saturday night services at First Lutheran decades ago. We loved Bob's music and the worship team there. And we were members at Bethany and Spencer at that time. But like Harbor, we broke away from the ELCA in 2010. And about 10 years ago, we built a home up here north of Milford. And Harbor has always been very welcoming, warm, and it was a very easy transition because we had a ton of friends here. And we have four more all the time, even Tim.
Before you say, you don't have to say anything, Ken, if you don't want to. You can pass it to me. Okay, that's good. I was just going to say that one of the things that Cheryl did when we first came to Iowa, she bought us a Iowa book that tells us about all the different places in Iowa that are of significance and importance. And that was so helpful, just to know that I'm used to North Dakota. I don't know a thing about Iowa, and it seems like there's all kinds of towns so close together in Iowa. And so I really appreciate that.
How many of those have you visited?
Well, I've got the Spencer. Now in Milford. You know, but, All right, go ahead, Vicki.
All right, so I'm Vicki Anderson, and I started coming here. It was so November after COVID, so you guys were just opening up again. There weren't a lot of people here, but the minute my daughter and I came for the first time, I was content to watch online for a while, about a year, and then I was really missing the fellowship of a church, and so we went to various churches, but just didn't find one that we felt was our home. So came here in November, and Julie Hansen greeted us at the door, and we chatted for quite some time, and then we came in here and sat. Pastor Tim came and greeted us, and Patty Griffith greeted us as well. So right away, I felt this church was very welcoming. And after church, many people came up and introduced themselves, which I had never been to a church like that. So, and there were a lot of you here, so that was just very intimate and sweet that everyone took that opportunity. We must have stood out that we were new members. But felt the welcoming, and that was the first thing. And then after that was just how everyone was willing to jump in and help us. Just you guys really were the hands and feet of Christ to us. Dale and his group of men wanted to build a ramp, knowing that Dwayne was going to be in a wheelchair shortly, and that was just such a blessing for us. We have friends here in town, and we could have found help, and it would have been something we would have gotten done. But the fact that you guys all came together and did that for us, and then just reached out in many ways, and primarily prayers. We got so many notes of prayers. And the encouragement, and that's truly what Christ calls us to do. Good times, bad times, tough times. We just felt like you guys loved us, even though you didn't really know us. So thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for loving and praying for us. And we just know that God called us here for that purpose. And hopefully we can extend that to other people too as they join the church. I didn't need to cry.
I'm John Sitar.
Only when she lets me. We are blessed by being here. We have to echo what you just heard. You have opened up your arms and welcomed us. In fact, the second Sunday we were here, they took a picture of us from Victoria. So, it is such a blessing to be here. A little history on Jackie, her daughter, and was married in this church, and her grandchildren, two of her grandchildren, were baptized in this church. So it was just a very normal place for us to come with the opening arms that you have to receive us here in this congregation. It is like coming home for Jackie. And it's very important for Jackie to be welcomed. And the women here have accepted her, wrapped your arms around her, and accepted her. The guys here, you have accepted me as well. And I appreciate that. I am now going to First Saturday's breakfast. And so, we will go up at least one. But we are very blessed, and we come from Central Iowa, and things are a lot faster down there. And that's what we're learning here, that we can breathe and just relax and accept the Lord as well. And it is a blessing for us, and we feel that God has left. That has led us to this congregation. Thank you.
I'm Sarah Reif, and I can just say that I enjoy the friendliness of the congregation, and thank you for welcoming us.
Ditto. She'll probably say that I'm the talker, I guess, so I guess I'll talk. We came from Brandon, South Dakota, and I just recently retired this past fall, and Sarah's a substitute teacher still, so that's good.
if Lauren can come in, that's always good. But anyway, this church reminded us a lot of spiritual truth. And Karen, of course, her daughter, Hannah, we had Hannah here from our old church. Sometimes I'm wondering if we're in the spirit of truth or where we're going. Because they come here, we come there, and it reminds me a lot of our old church. And the biggest thing when we came here, right away, people were just coming right on us. I mean, swarming. Not really swarming, that sounds like attacking. They weren't attacking us, but you were just so friendly, like Sarah said. And that's what really brought us here, and God brought us here. And you seem like you're giving type of folks, and I appreciate all the giving that you've been doing for the Blessing Box. Because without your giving, it wouldn't be possible to help feed others that are in need. So I just wanted to tell you thank you for all your giving, and also welcome us here to this great church. It truly is an awesome church. Thank you.
It was pretty short, babe. But...
I'm a little off today. So.
Same,
Ken Cassettius, and she spoke for me.
Ken, by the way, is the one who provides me with fish eggs in the winter. So thank you for that. Good fishing. I want to just pray for these guys. You just join with me as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for people that have a desire to serve you and a desire to just let you have your way in their lives, however that may be. So Lord, we thank you for these new members. And we pray, Lord, that there will be more that will take place in the days ahead. But what an encouragement to be able to see them and to hear just a little bit about them, even if it's only a name. But we realize that without you, Lord, this would not happen. And so we just thank you how you're able to take people from a lot of different places, a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different kinds of jobs that they've been a part of and careers, and to bring us together to worship you. And we have the one thing that's in common, and that's Jesus, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we know that without you and without other people and encouragement, there's times we're going to need encouragement. There's times we're going to need prayer. There's going to be times that we're just going to need someone to come along beside us. And it's not what is said, it's just being there. And so often, that's the way you work in our lives so much too, Lord, by just being there with us. We thank you for the many answers to prayer that come our way. And sometimes, Lord, we sometimes think we pray to little things that don't mean anything to you, but yet you want us to come and to say whatever's on our hearts, and you continue to love us. You never laugh at us or belittle us. You just say, I understand. I'm glad that you've come to talk to me and spend some time with me. So, Lord, I just pray that you would be with the homes, the families of everyone that is here, that your name would be honored and glorified. We just thank you for their presence, their involvement, and for being here today as well. May we be as a congregation and friends to them in a way that will be one that will be supportive, and knowing that there's people here who will, they know what's going on. They'll definitely pray and come alongside when needed. So we just are grateful for this time today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming with you. Let's give him a hand. Well, that was fun. Because you got to sit and just watch. And let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. Oh, Lord's Prayer. Let's do the Lord's Prayer first. Okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
On the third day, He rose again.
He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated. And I just want to, your benediction from our standpoint here today is what we heard from Karen. For God's word, where it says, everyone, everyone.